Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
The shit is bananas.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn, you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black dude, holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J. Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, October 31st, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris. Happy Halloween to all of those out there. It's also Halloween, so yeah, shout out to that. Lots to talk about tonight. Let me see. I gotta get this going to slow down a little bit. It should ride out any minute. Anyway, yeah, feels like it's been longer than it has since I've done a show. But anyway, let's get to the show. Lots to talk about, starting with one of the scariest experiences of my life, to be completely honest, was we just got hit with this hurricane. Hurricane fucking Sandy over here. And for those of you who were watching it on the news, whether you ended up in the path or you didn't, pretty much where it was pointed at was like my house. I mean, it was pointed at AC, you know, it landlocked on AC and all of that different stuff like that. But I'm telling you, man, like it hit us hard. And even the night before, because normally like this stuff, we never... Where I'm at, you know, Jersey Shore over here, you really don't get hit that hard. With most of these storms, a lot of times when it comes to hurricanes, it'll hit like Florida or somewhere down that region hard. By the time it gets to us, it's just like a little bit of whippy wind and some rain, and it's not even classified as anything. Very rarely do we even get hit with anything that's labeled a tropical storm still. Last year, there was some panic over the Irene thing. Well, that one was just, you know, again, it kind of swept the coast, turned into more like a tropical thing by the time it got to us. And, you know, really wasn't nearly as severe as a lot of people were saying it was going to be. So my initial thoughts were that on this thing over here. Then what happened was it was just like, nope, it's coming for you guys first. Like, yeah, it's gonna slow down, but after it fucks your world up. And that's what it, like, it had full plans to just collide with our shit over here. And it was like, well, you know, last time I tried to take precautions and evacuate the family over to my work, which is only just like a little bit more inland in the same town last year. Well, there was no evacuating to another part of this state because it was just lighting this state up, you know, especially across town. Like, no, it was coming at us. So I started to get more and more worried because it was just nothing but that on TV, like Sunday night. And, there, you know, it's a state of emergency. Yeah, shit's going down. It's about to, and this and that. So I took like I took a walk down to there's like a little dock. There's a lagoon down the street and a creek, like down another block. They're like right by each other. And a few blocks away is the bay. And I mean, it's all right here. So I took a walk down there and wind started, you know, pushing and stuff. And this was Sunday night. Like, you could tell something was about to go on because that was like the type of winds we would normally get at best. Was the stuff that was going on Sunday night where they're on the news going, you motherfuckers better be ready. So I'm like, oh, shit. And some, like, misty wind type shit. So now I'm getting more nervous and just, you know, drinking and everything else. And then just, like, wake up Monday going, like, oh, man. Like, and I ran around Sunday night getting everything ready for the most part, you know, putting away all my statues and, you know, doing whatever I could to get stuff away that was going to, you know, get thrown around and this and that. Sunday night, you know, for those who don't know, I have three ducks. They have a giant pen. It's like 30 foot by 12 foot and it's enclosed, top sides, all that shit. But, you know, I have fencing on top and sides and all that. And it's like 4x4 construction. I wasn't worried about the pen getting like knocked down or anything. I was worried about them getting like painted to one of the walls of it or something, you know, cause the wind start throwing these little ducks around and they could get hurt. So I set them up in crates in my laundry room on Sunday night, which, believe me, within 24 hours, you know that there's ducks somewhere in your house. Like, these things are disgusting. They are best in their pen outside. That's for sure. Never consider keeping them in the house. So, that they were all up in there. It was, you know, three ducks. So, did that. And it just, you know, wake up in the morning, you know, oh, it's about to go down. And, you know, they're ready, state of emergency this, state of emergency that. You better be off the roads by noon, all of this crazy stuff. I'm like, nah, work is not happening. You know, of course, a couple other people just, you know, families are generally not having families. You know, they went into work like, you know, nothing. Now they're, you know, celebrated veterans. But, you know, I wasn't having it. So, and state of emergency and all, I didn't have to, so. There you go. It was like, it started to get like, the wind started to whip, you know, like two or so, really started to push. We like, and I want to preface this, not only do I live like Jersey Shore, but I live like combination Pinelands and Jersey Shore. So that combinations means for waterfront winds and waterfront flooding possibilities and trees every fucking where. So not good. Probably one of the worst combinations you can have, one of these type of things, is being close to the water and surrounded by trees. That's just fucked up. So I wasn't happy. And next to my, I have like a bunch of trees around my house. I got like three pretty big ones all clustered together on the side of my house. In between my house and the next door neighbor's house, there's like 100-foot pine tree. This bitch is a monster. And that shit, whatever direction, it would fuck the house across the street up. It fucked our house up. It fucked the neighbor's house. Whatever direction it fell in, it was going to destroy something. Not just knock the corner off of something. It was going to level something if that thing fell. And it's pretty scary to, you know, be next to that for, you know, 12 hours of wind whipping around. This thing is like a coffee stirrer, just like spinning around and shit. And, you know, and a bunch of other smaller trees in the yard too, like in the middle and, in the backyard. I got a couple back there, about three or four back there. So yeah, enough trees to definitely worry you right off the bat. So going on from that, about 3 o'clock, now we're really getting kicked up. We're like, if they told us it's already happening, I'd be like, okay, here it is. And cause it's pushing this wind. So about 3 o'clock, my neighbor posts a picture of one of their trees uprooted and just thrown through the back fence to the neighbor behind them's house. You know what I mean? So this is like 3 o'clock, like 3:15 type shit. And my next door neighbor already had a tree uprooted and thrown like pretty much into the neighbor's house. I think it fell just shy of the neighbor's house. Like the top of the tree was like touching the house, but just leveled the fence behind him. And, you know, if it was like another 4 inches taller, it would have been in their kitchen or whatever. So any thoughts of maybe the winds ain't strong enough, so maybe, you know, haven't really been around this type of stuff before, but any of my initial fears were immediately confirmed while they're fucking on the TV on every channel you go to going, it's going to get a lot worse. If you think anything is even close to bad, you've seen nothing yet. This is going to be the worst shit that's ever happened in New Jersey history. And it's fucking yellow. And they're just showing the arrows and they're showing where it's going. And it's pointed at my shit. And I'm like, man, so when it comes to time where it's hitting, it's hitting. And it's actually been hitting, but it just turned up a little bit more and really just throwing some heavy wind. They said Barnegat, Surf City, these are all towns like right around me, hit 89-mile-an-hour winds. And I think those were like the top, like even though Atlantic City caught a lot more damage and, you know, Seaside caught a shitload of damage and stuff. And Seaside's near me too. But from the highest recorded winds that I heard them talking about was right around me. It was that 89-mile-an-hour winds and shit. I don't, you know, that's scary stuff, man. And it wasn't like 2 hours of that. It was like 12 hours of that. Because you figure like 3 o'clock in the afternoon it was knocking trees down over here. You know, come 2, 3 in the morning, the winds were still blowing it like 60-70 mile an hour gusts. Like they were still telling us when we went to bed that the gusts can go up to 80 miles an hour still. Like it had slowed down somewhat, but was still raining enough and was still blowing like gusts that were, you just heard like the window shaking in the house, like I mean, it was putting some power on shit. The majority of this town lost power. We lost power for maybe a half hour or something like that. And then we were getting like these crazy surges where it would come on and go off. And I'm like, yo, this is going to start blowing TVs out in this bitch. So, we unplugged the TV in my room and, I just tried to like, just keep out in the living room. So when the power came back on and it kind of was like staying on for the most part, you get, you know, every here and there it would flick off and come back. We just stayed to the living room because, I mean, in the living room, I got like an old school, like the big body box TV that's like, you know, 250 pounds, but it, you know, it's like a 35 inch or whatever. So still, you know, definitely doable. And went out there and just stayed there more or less just hanging on the couch and just freaked out because the winds aren't stopping. I know these monstrous trees that are just like right on my shit. Like any given wind could just throw this shit into my lap and I'm gone. Like, you know, I got my kids, I got my animals, and it's just terrifying. Just, I mean, you're starting to like think things in your mind, like this shit hits my house. Like what happens next? I don't know what's covered. I don't know what's not. What do we do for the rest of tonight if there's a tree in our living room? I mean, it's just, I've never encountered anything like this before in my life. So it definitely puts some fucking fear in me that I've never encountered shit like that before. Cause I mean, there's shit, you know, that is dangerous you'll encounter in your life, but for the most part, you could do something about it. When it comes to this nature shit, there ain't shit you could do about it. Like, I got, you know, I'm panicking on the Facebook and all that. I got people, Brent and everybody, yo, you got this, man. I ain't got shit, man. you can't get a motherfucking thing. There's no, like, I'm just good at this type of thing. Like, nah, fuck that, dude. This fucking tree come into my house. I ain't got a motherfucking thing but a problem. And, it was just relentless. Oh my God, it was just fucking relentless. So And then, you know, Tuesday, wake up, and it's too, like, it was, like, initially, like, yeah, it's coming in fast, so, you know, the only thing that's good is if it's coming in fast, it's going to pass a lot of land fast and stuff, you know, and it's, like, now it's getting to, like, I said, this kicked up, like, 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock, and, like, where it was legit saying, yo, this is a fucking hurricane. So then, it's like fucking 10:30, and I'm still seeing the shit sitting the same thing on the map on the fucking news. Because I flip over there, like, well, I started watching the game, and I was flipping back and forth because I'm just fucking bugging, you know, I want the shit over. And this bitch is just, like, spinning in place, like, right on the same place. Like, it's whipping around, now it's got another shit for us. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck? So it's like, yeah, well, it hit land, and, well, it slowed down in a little bit of wind speed, but it also slowed down in movement, so it's kind of hanging out right here. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? So it's like spent, like, I don't know, half of that night in our fucking area still. And it kicked the shit out of stuff. I mean, Tuesday morning, we went out, and, when we knew, you know, everything, I walked around the perimeter of my house, was like amazed that none of this shit was knocked down. I mean, just about every leaf in the tree was gone, which, I mean, I guess speeds up the whole, you know, dropping of the leaves to get that shit cleaned up at one point. But, you know, a bunch of branches and stuff, you know, some decent sized branches just missed the car and whatnot. But, there's like one fence post in the back that's like a little loose. I guess that one wasn't concreted when we put it in. But outside of that, no, and honestly, overall, no damage to our house or cars or none of that. And that's amazing. Cause then, you know, hit a certain point and they're like, just like, go stay the fuck off the road. Da, 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 da. And, you know, eventually we're like, all right, well, let's just take a walk, see what we can see. We walked to that same dock that I was at, you know, Sunday night, and just seeing, like, the water, you know, pushing around, and then, you know, the rain kind of going a little sideways, but the wind started to whip up Sunday nights. Like I said, I kind of seen, like, this wasn't going to be some old bullshit. And then, you know, Tuesday, you get halfway down the road, and that's as far as you're going. And, you know, I took pictures of it and stuff, put it on my Facebook, but the half of the road was a lake. The ducks swimming it and shit, like, there was a whole nother block that you had to walk to get to that dock, and that entire block was just underwater. And it was just because you go down a hill to get to there. So you went down that hill, and then you walk a little bit more, and then you got to walk like another block from there. Well, you couldn't walk anymore once you hit the bottom of that hill because it was just straight up lake. And like I said, ducks swimming in it, went straight to the pier, just flat water straight across from the pier. Up another block, and it's crazy shit. Like, you see, like, mailboxes and ducks and shit. Like, it was bad. And then, you know, we did that, and it was like, you know, once we walked back up from there, we went down to the creek over there, and there's another tree, and it's like a couple feet into the water. When this shit was normally right on the edge where the water started, and this shit's like a couple feet in the water. That's how I want to say, like, something, I want to say at least 8 feet, 12 feet in the water, you know, that far in, that's how far the water rose over there. So it was like, oh, wow, that's crazy shit too. And then as we were walking, it's just, you see more and more trees just uprooted, fallen, smashed into houses, just everything, like backyards flooded out, like crazy shit. So then we get in the car and we start to drive around just like the recent neighborhood, just like within like, you know, 10 block radius type thing. Well, you go down like a certain, like, 3 or 4 blocks down, I don't even know, east, west, whatever, but that way, like, deeper into the neighborhood, and that's when, like, the waterfront homes with the lagoons and stuff start, and they're just fire trucks at the end of the roads, so, like, nah, you ain't fucking going in there, shit, they're fucked. And, you know, a couple blocks the other way, same thing, fire trucks, nah, ain't coming in here. And then they're like, all right, so, you know, drive just the other back roads around there. And trees, I mean, huge fucking trees just, like, laying on houses, like, stuff uprooted all over this town. Like I said, they said, like, 10,000 people in this town don't have power That's fucking crazy. So yeah, that was another skip day of work. Again, they told us don't drive on the road that day. So we never even hit a main road because all the lights are out. You know, all the traffic lights are out. There ain't nothing open. So fuck you going on the road. So, just look around like that. It was just crazy shit, man. You see, you know, all over the news, all these different things that are just buried. The Seaside Boardwalk, and they threw, you know, roller coasters in the water off of this shit. And, just really put a pounding on that whole area, and the AC is just underwater, and man, it's fucked up shit. And, I hope, you know, everybody comes out of this well, and, you know, they were rebuilding and stuff like that, but this is definitely the most devastating storm I've ever seen in this area in my 34 years of life. You know, I lived up north for, you know, a few years here and there too, but, you know, this is majority of where I live my life, and that shit is, whoa, I've never seen no shit like this. And I hope that I know one thing, come fucking tax return time, one of the things I'm going to get done is quite a few of these trees are going to have to go. I'm going to have firewood for the whole fucking summer barbecue season and some, because I ain't trying to get hit with another one of these storms and worry about these fucking monsters swaying around my house. That shit has got to go. So, yeah, and like I said, you continue to see these pictures and shit from the news and all the different stuff that's happened. And if I see that fucking shark, that fake ass shark picture one more fucking time, oh man. But yeah, it's fucked up shit. And then funny shit. So on the way home today, I'm like, yo, I gotta get to the liquor store and shit, because you know that shit has been out of the question for 2 days. So I'm like, all right, well, that one's, as we passed the one, realized it was running on generator and it was packed and everything. I was like, oh, shit, well, I heard the one up the street is open. Well, they were, like, open on generator, but they were open till 5. I got out, like, 6, out there by, like, 6:30. So I'm like, all right, well, we'll go to the next one. Now, you're getting up to, like, about the block that this is about to, this is on Route 9, too, over here. And you're driving up and it's just, like, Burger King blacked out, Wendy's blacked out, like all these like major joints just blacked out, like not a light in the motherfucking, the traffic lights gone, but all of that. So you start to get up there and you could see like a little bit of light. Shit looks like a, you know, like when they just put a spotlight on like a Santa Claus on someone's lawn. And that's kind of, it's like, oh wait, maybe they're running off generator. What they had was, the whole store was blacked out and the shit was open, but they had two of those like big halogen lights that they got, you know, for people to work on cars that are on like a stand, you know, and they had them just pointing in the double glass doors, and that's running off a generator, a little generator, and they just got the store open and shit. So now there's all us fucking booze zombies just fucking walking through the store because we know where shit is. And if that doesn't point out a problem, then I don't know, because a store full of glass bottles and you didn't hear shit breaking, you didn't hear no type of calamity, there wasn't a lot of browsing, you didn't hear a lot of people asking where shit was. It was just people getting their shit and standing in line. And like I said, it was lit by two like more or less headlights shining in through double doors on a big ass store. It was fucked up. You know, one of the little more, you know, comical things on the whole thing I was able to look at and go, wow, this is some telling shit right here. but you know, like I said, I'm lucky that we came out at it the best we did, because again, I mean, there's people died over this shit. There's people's houses that are just fucked. So much money that's going to have to be put into so many properties. It's unbelievable. And, you know, my neighbor helped me tie the trampoline down, or somebody's house would be wearing that shit. You know, there's a bunch of shit that could have happened negative off of this. Cause yeah, it's, you see this shit, you know, Katrina happened, and this is like, oh, glad that shit don't happen around here. Fucking tornado happened over there. Oh God, that shit don't happen over there. Fucking earthquakes happen in California. Well, shit, I ain't gonna live over there no time soon. And then here we go, hurricane just pointing at fucking Jersey. Like, that's And it was mind blowing. I really, really hope I don't ever have to go through that again. And again, anyone who went through this, I wish them the best. I hope that they came out unscathed, or at least, you know, in the best possible way they could, or able to rebuild to get back where they were before. Cause man, it's devastating. I've seen this shit firsthand now, and that is, that's scary shit. There ain't shit you could do about that. There ain't amount of hours you could put in the gym. There ain't amount of guns you can go load up in a closet. There's nothing you could do to stop this shit when it's coming at you. That's it. It's going to do what it wants to do to all the shit it wants to do. And, you know, I mean, there's some in AC and I think Surf City over here. It was just sliding like 2-story houses off the foundation, just sliding them into the neighbor's house. I mean, that's crazy shit. I never really even seen some of the pictures that they got off of this storm. I haven't really seen shit like that before. So, yeah, it's definitely the way I wanted to start the show, because it's something I've never seen before. I had to at least share my side of shit with everybody. And, yeah, so I got other topics, believe me. But I'm going to take my first break. I'm going to hit up I got all pretty much Halloween-themed songs and shit for this. So let me start with this one.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Yo, Slim Shady.
Yo, Boy 5'9".
Y'all want to make a movie?
What?
We got the film
what?
Right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I'm one of them pretty rappers. Fuck if I really have to. I really slap you. King of Detroit, who they naming the city after?
What?
Dantless partners, who's grammar hammers the hard shit into your heart with content you don't want to start with. Experts, bad and evil is coming soon. And seeds get stuck head first back in their mother's womb. The shit is written in my eyes, I'm the illest MC spitting.
What?
Leaving all of you cash shitting kittens. I got a issue. My niggas be cocking pistols. Shot and split you. Fuck splitting the profits with
what?
6% of y'all niggas is just pretend. Click with click, pussy niggas stick with dick.
What?
Niggas act bully and blast for the fat penny. My order was fully. Plenty of you niggas pack a semi. Speak dark. Show you get paid.
What?
Rhyming about it, it's a street part. You can't be street smart with a cheap heart. 5'9", a street nigga with deep feeling.
What?
I keep illing, my seeds willing to keep killing.
What?
Fuck rap, a lot of y'all all is just act. Trust that. You rhyme all whack on rough track. Bust, and then we all black when you get bust back at. Fuck that. You get blasted at. You get laughed at. And I'ma spit thunder.
What?
Stick to my guns. Niggas is finished before they gimmick. One hit wonders.
What?
Big balls. That's why when I spit, you click stars. I'm a pit bull. I'm just dog. I'm just raw.
What?
Split y'all. Holler it's on. Then I dish y'all. All of y'all niggas get pissed on. Claiming you pissed off.
I want drama. Wanna make a scary movie. Rappers coming in with a team and carry toolies. You can jump right out of the screen and barely move me. We hard hitting. Directing and starring in it. Y'all want drama? Wanna make a scary movie? Rappers coming in with a team and carry toolies. You can jump right out of the screen and barely move me. We hard hitting.
The one man on the planet that'll drive off of the Grand Canyon, hop out of a Grand Am and land in a handstanding. Any man planning a battle will get snatched out of his clothes so fast it'll look like an invisible man standing. I'm headed for hell, I'd rather be dead or in jail. Bill Clinton, hit this, he's better than hell. Cause any MC that chooses to go against me is getting taken advantage of, like Monica Lewinsky. Came home in a frenzy, pushing the 10-speed, screaming the amp, hey, the freak bolt sticking out of my pant leg. Fuck a headache, give me a migraine. Damn it, I like pain. Used to be anywhere that I might gain. You rap, knowing you act. You act up and I'm throwing you down a flight of steps. And I'm throwing you back up em. If they don't like the track, fuck em. The rap struck them harder than getting hit by a Mack truck and it backed up on. And any half-ass known rapper that's fresh fast better be ready for the second celebrity deathmatch. Tell the medic to bring the medication in quickly. I'm sicker than the Tupac dedication to Biggie. I'm free-falling feet first out of a damn tree.
There you go. I'll start off like that. All right. Man, I got to hit this topic, and I got to hit it early. Last week, I did a tribute to Marvin Lambert, also known as Brain Damage. Well, going into that show, I had a lot of drama on my mind. Of course, I let it go. I let it just be where it be because that show had to be only about one thing, and that's what it was. So I thought it came off well. I hope everybody did enjoy it. You know, due to circumstances, I mean, there's only so much you can do to, you know, put a positive look on something like that. And, I hope I did my job at doing that. That's all. I'm not trying to, you know, make myself look like anything other than just trying to do what I was trying to do. That's it. Sorry. Well, here's where the drama came in. Let me take you back a little bit. Vito Tomaselli and Ben Jordan, they run in the rotation on Spreaker. They run that shit over there. All right. Now, I had heard the show like once or twice. When I first heard it, they were doing the Ian Rotten thing, and they were just like getting all sorts of dirt out of him and shit. So it was like that, you know, it drew me over there. Well, then they did something recently. Oh, I think they were doing the thing with Billy, where Billy's Captain Atheist or something like that. So I just, like, tuned in and stuff just to see what they were doing and whatever. You know, and I always try to be courteous. I'm always trying to, like, be cool with other shows. And honestly, the reason why my show has got to be as popular as it is right now is through cross-promotion. And because I found good people to help spread the word as I continue to help spread the word for them, and it all works hand in hand, and I actually do, you know, respect all the people that I do that with. So that's the difference between what ended up happening here, because the respect is not, you know, it is not paid forward this way. So what happened here is Vito ended up, it was something like one of the nights I was having problems with Blog Talk, you know, and they fucked me a couple times. And I said something, and he just randomly hit me with a message. He's like, oh, you should fuck Blog Talk. You should use Spreaker. Spreaker's the shit, you know, and it's cheaper and it's better, more options and this and that. And I took like a quick look at it, but like the way I do the show with the phone and everything like that, and like they do it through Skype and they do a different thing like that. And I'm like, fuck it. I'll just stick with this. I know it's a little more expensive, and you know, people like to shit on Blog Talk, but I've been doing it for 2.5 years. And I got to tell you, like, despite my few problems, I really don't have a million problems with the rest of it. I don't know. Like, again, I mean, they're going to get labeled as what they're labeled as. And obviously it's somewhere near the bottom of where you can broadcast from. It's, you know, it's better to buy audio equipment and do this stuff yourself and then host it on some kind of thing. And then, you know, do your own recording and do your own posting somewhere, make your own website. You know, I've seen the people that have done it really well like that. I've also seen them raise the popularity that just doesn't even handle it anymore. So I don't know. I'm not that technical of a dude, you know, so I just like to talk. And I enjoy the people hearing me talk, or at least tolerated shit. So he said some shit like that, and I checked out, and it just didn't seem like it was something I wanted to jump into. So it's like, you know, something I'll keep in mind, no problem. So then, like, I started posting about numbers, about, like, doing well and stuff like that. Next thing you know, I get another message from him. Oh, did you ever go over to Spreaker and this and that? I'm like, nah, man, you know, I'm still doing where I'm doing. And he's like, oh, okay. And then, what the fuck happened? Something happened. It might have even been around the time. It might have, I mean, the first actual real, like, contact type thing like that might have been initially right around the time with Damage, because then we're going into this, and I had been promoting, I'm doing a Brain Damage show, I'm doing a show for him, and then all of a sudden I get a message from him, from Vito, saying, we're doing a Brain Damage tribute on Tuesday, and we'd like you to be a part of it. We'd also like to have you possibly come on and give us news about what's going on the East Coast this and that. Are you interested? And, oh, no. Previous to that, he had asked me if I would like to do some cross-promotional stuff. So I said, sure. I'm always up for cross-promotional. And then the next week, if you remember, I did plug their show on my show. So what I said is, you know, I can compare them to kind of like a Joe Rogan show. They get really deep into the conspiracy theories. They talk a lot of politics and stuff like that. Probably more, even more so into the politics and more so into the anti-religion and anti-theory, anti-whatever you want to call it. They go a little bit deeper, more conspiracy theorist into it than like a Joe Rogan, because Rogan will throw a lot of more comedy towards it than that. And this is not where I'm taking a shot at those guys, because it's that type of show. And I feel like they do a good, that type of show. You know what I mean? Like, cause that it's the polar opposite from what I do. I speak opinions, but I don't go into like, you know what, man, it's like, and I don't even want to try to imitate these guys, cause they don't sound like that or anything like that, but they get in some old deep fucking, and then the government's, you know, got into the crops, and then the crops made this happen. And like, dude, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but you know, I'm sure you have some good belief system behind it, and that's fine, dude. That's not what I'm knocking. All right. So I'm like, yeah, cross promotion, whatever. And I plugged them, and then it goes into the brain damage thing. And I'm like, you know, I'm plugging that I'm going to be doing my show. So he sends me that message. So I hit him back and I'm like, what time, man? Because, you know, I work during the day, and, you know, I think they recorded it, like, whatever's good for those guys. It's not, like, necessarily that they do it every week, this time, blah, blah, blah. Like, they find, like, a good time. I could be wrong, but I think they find, like, a good time for the two of them to get together, and then they record it, and then, you know, it's up there. There's a lot of shows do that, you know, big deal. And then coming off of that, he's like, yeah, so, you know, I'd like to be part of it, and, you know, you'd be... So I'm like, all right. And he's like, it's like 9:30 your time, which would be like 8:30 Chicago time, I believe. And I'm like, all right, because at the time, like, I do my girl's show, I more or less do like the, you know, the audio board end where, like, you know, I answer calls for them type things and like play any sound drops or clips that they want. And so that I'm like kind of attached to that, and I got my phone on and whatever. So I'm like, it would just have to be, you know, done by 10:30 and stuff like that. Well, between those two times, or between, you know, when I sent them that message, my girl decided that, you know, it wasn't working out for her and her co-host, at least that day. Like, her co-host was busy, and she was like, I just feel like taking this week off. So she was like, all right. So that was that. And they, you know, they called off the show for the week. So that left me open. And I was just like, all right, whatever. So I'm, you know, he's going to call me in. This is like his thing. He's going to call me in at such and such a time. He gave me a cell number, or gave him mine, blah, blah, blah. Text me, whatever. And then he texts me, you know, coming into the show. And he said something, all right, well, you know, you're coming on, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, all right, well, I'm going to call you from a this and this number, you know, area code number. And then, when you pick up, just don't say anything, and then we'll intro you. So I'm like, all right. So I get on there, and he intros me or whatever. And then, which I still don't really know if he ever understood exactly what I am or what I do, or I don't really understand, like, if he understands that. And the reason is this, is because shortly after getting into, you know, this discussion, you know, well, you know, what's your thoughts on, you know, Marvin, you know, brain damage, this stuff. He asks me, so, you know, you're over there with those guys. What's CZW's thoughts on it? And I'm like right off, like, that was like a weird question. Cause I was like, well, does he think that I represent CZW in some way? Cause like, if he listened to my show for like a week or something, he'd know that, like, even though I usually follow CZW, that's not, like, I'm not the spokesman of CZW, because they would hate me to do that. They would really, really not. And, you know, I do put the word out about, you know, all the good stuff that they do. And that as well. But as far as like just the, hey, on behalf of CCW, like, no, I'm not the guy to make that statement. So you get Phil Stamper, you know, one of these guys don't want to say shit that. So I'm just like, well, I don't really fully know what the company, but I, you know, I, as far as someone who follows it, I, here's how I feel. So I started into that and just, you know, shared a couple of my, you know, fondest memories as far as like his in the ring stuff, and just, you know, said that he's been nothing but polite to me outside of the ring, very soft spoken and all that stuff. And, you know, I kind of feel like, I don't know if it fell off a little bit on that angle, because they were going this, like, what does CZW feel? And like, I only started to give him like, you know, my perspective as a fan and some of my favorite matches and that type of stuff. And I don't know if that, there was some misunderstanding there that led them to be a little more upset, and not even upset where they were mad at me or anything like that, but just like, all right, well, I guess we'll wrap this up. And, you know, he's just like, and I had this thing on my mind that like, and I had posted online, had a bunch of people like it, and, you know, and if you listen to my show the next night, maybe you'll get where I'm coming from, maybe you won't. And I just said that, you know, I really think that these guys need to take care of themselves. I don't think the promoters are going to be the guys to tell them when to say when. I don't think the fans are going to be the guys to tell them when to say when. I, as a fan, am just really tired of seeing these guys dying. So they got to look at themselves. They got to do whatever it is that they have to do in order to keep themselves on this earth. You know what I mean? Put everybody else aside and let's get this, you know, let's get this situation solved so we stop losing people, because I don't want to see people lost anyway. And that was just kind of like my overall statement. So, and because first, like, they were going to wrap it up and they're, you know, okay, we'll plug where we can find you, this and that. And I'm like, yeah, www.blogtalkradio.com/Yakuza. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And you get a lot of listens, right? And to me right there, that's like red flag shit. Like, you don't got to tell listeners that I get a lot of listens. And the fact that you had to point out on your air that I get a lot of listens kind of cues me into exactly why you want to be involved with me at all. It ain't got shit to do with respecting what I do as a show, because clearly thinking that I'm CZW's representative shows me you don't know shit about my show. And then pointing out that I have a lot of listens, bing, green light. I know exactly why you fucking with me. So that's that. And then, like, so I'm like, oh, okay, you know, before you guys let me go, you know, I just wanted to say this. And that's when I said the whole thing about, you know, these guys need to take care of themselves, blah, 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 blah. They gave a little bit of rebuttal, like, no, 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 well, you know, these guys know what they're doing, and, you know, no one goes in there not knowing, you know, the possible repercussions and this and that, which I do understand. It's not like, oh, and Denny talked out of his ass. Like, that's not, no, that's not any bit of what I'm upset about or anything. So I'm like, all right. So they let me off. Now, before I get into the other thing that pissed me off, let me get into initially, and dude, they promoted this shit from the dick as a fucking brain damage tribute show. They told me up and down afterwards that no, we said that we were going to talk some about brain damage and then just do a normal show. They didn't say none of that bullshit. They said this was a tribute to dude. They didn't say none of my motherfucking, oh, we're going to talk fucking. They started off the show and did like 10, 15 minutes on Four Locos and how they're drinking them because they had an extra case at wherever dude works. And they were banned for a minute, and then they took the caffeine out of them, and now they're not banned, and it's fucked up because the alcohol content is no more than this. And if you did a Rocket and Red Bull, you know, you'd be, you know what I mean? That would be more alcohol than a Four Loko is, so it's bullshit, and the government's trying to fuck people over, pulling these off the shelves because there's no reason for it, and this and this and this and this. So that's how they started their tribute show, which already, like, raised hairs on me. Was just like, what are they doing? So I figure maybe it's just like a little jargon getting into it and then into the whole, you know, brain damage thing. So I'm like, nah. And then they have on Deranged. Great guest, you know. I mean, geez, I mean, his tag team partner and one of his best friends in life. I mean, by all means, great guest. He pours his heart out. Awesome stuff. They hang up with him. go directly into politics. Bill Maher clips, John Stewart clips, fucking talking this and this and this. They touch on Honey Boo Boo. They just on and on and on about the politics. They went on such long rants about the politics. If you just tuned in right there, you'd be like, oh, I got the wrong show. So I'm like, all right. So then the next person they have on is me. I believe, because there was four guests. Yeah, the next one they had on is me. So they had me on. I explained my bit. They go right back into politics after that. Politics, 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 politics. Bill Maher said this. Here's a clip. John Stewart said this. Here's a clip. And here's my thing about that. And here's what I think the government's doing. Here's my thing about this. And now I'm starting to get like, yo, I feel like they completely misunderstood anything about me. Now I feel like they were using me for listens. And they're really starting to get under my skin and shit. And now I'm like, yo, I'm like, I just don't like the way this is going. So then Joker gets on, which again, great guest. I mean, I will say something about that after, you know, all is said and done, but, Joker gets on, he gives like very, very good tribute to a guy, you know, and, you know, he worked him a couple times and all that stuff. Right, like, towards the beginning of when they're getting into it with him, they go, yeah, we had a fan on earlier, and he thinks it's the wrestling's fault that he's dead. It's the wrestling business's fault that he's gone. It's like, whoa, I fucking blew up. Because I sure as shit didn't say that. I just explained to you what I said. That doesn't equal the wrestling business killed him. Like, what? I mean, that shit pissed me off. And this is what conspiracy theorists do. They spin shit to look the way that they feel like it looking. Some of it might be truth, but when they go half-cocked and they had someone on earlier in the show that if you listen back would contradict what the fuck they're just trying to tell the audience. Yeah, that the guy said fucking wrestling killed fucking... Like, dude, that's not what the fuck I said. So now I'm fucking heated, you know? And I'm like, what the fuck? So they go on with Joker. I'm having a little bit of like the problems with my computer, like fucking up, and the feed was fucking up on that. So I didn't get to hear all of it. But then I end up like getting back on like to listen like a little bit like towards the end of Joker. And at this point, they're not even talking about brain damage anymore. Now they're like more or less having like a discussion, like a back and forth discussion on how they feel about the military because he was in the military. And again, like that's another red flag to me. I would not have a guest on a tribute show and then just start talking about some other shit with them. They're on to talk about that dude. And you just decide you could trail off and start talking about some other shit with them? To me, that's disrespectful. I'm sorry. That's just, to me, I think that's fucking classless. But again, do what you want with your show. Okay, so then they go off of that. Bam, back into politics, 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 politics. All right? Then they get on Billy Graham. Billy Graham is crying his fucking eyes out. He's bawling, he's bawling, he's bawling, and crying because his friend is gone. They give him maybe 10 minutes, 12 minutes, and rush him off the air. And you know, anybody who knows Billy that have came on my show, and what I gave him the following night, I gave him just about an hour the following night to tell all the stories he wanted, to give all type of stuff that he wanted. And because I knew how close the dude was to him, and it would mean a lot to him to allow him to, you know, speak his mind on his friend. These dudes had a dude bawling on there. It was like, yeah, you know, we got a lot of show left. All right, but, you know, okay, well, I understand, bro. You know, he's completely cool with being cut off now all of a sudden. Billy's okay with that. So I'm like, oh, as long as he's okay with it, I guess. But I got just like a bad feeling on this whole show. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? So then, like, they go right back into politics and shit. And I'm like, fuck this, dude. I'm done with this shit. So I posted something on Facebook. Like, I got to turn this shit off, man. I can't take it anymore. Someone's trying to run a tribute, and now they're talking, like, fucking more politics than they're even talking about the guy they were supposed to tribute. So I'm like, yo, fuck this, dude. And I tagged Vito Tomaselli at the end of that shit. Because I don't say shit that I don't want someone to hear that I'm talking about. Because why the fuck would I be saying it? You know, like,
to talk to somebody and be like, yo, that dude's a bitch and shit. Like, yeah, but, like, I don't mind telling them that. And sometimes, like, in certain situations, I would rather not tell them that just because, like, the next conversation around the dude would be awkward, you know, if you're friends with people or you work with people or that type of thing. You just, you know, it's just better on set, even though you might feel that way. But when it comes down to something like this, he had me on my show. Now he thinks we're doing some kind of cross promotion or we're going to, you know, work hand in hand. I just want to put it like out there, like, nah, dude, I don't like this shit at all. So that's what I did. He responds to me, oh, are you fucking kidding me, dude? I'm like, fucking this and that. So now it turns into this whole fucking flame war and this and that. Now it's back and forth and back and forth, and I got the two of them jumping all over me and shit. They're talking about my ego this, my ego that. And we never said we were going to do a whole tribute to the dude. And, you know, we still have to do our regular show because, you know, some of our listeners don't even know who that is. I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck who your listeners know who they are. Ego this, ego that. To me, they're telling me I got a fucking ego, but their fucking huge, ginormous fucking show, the biggest show on the internet, they can't spare one episode to tribute somebody and fuck anybody who doesn't know who they are. You think I don't have people that don't know who he is? They'll listen to the episode or they won't. And then next week, they know I'll be back to my normal bullshit. But come on, man. You can't dedicate one fucking show. Like, yo, I've done it before. I was going to do a show the next night, but I was so fired up about this and I just wasn't in the mood. And I was exhausted because I was staying up really, really late or all that week. Like, fucking crazy, like all week that week I was just real late on some bullshit, especially blowing up the night before with that, then doing my show, you know, the tribute the night before that. You know, I'm just a lot of planning went into what I was doing too, so I was just exhausted. I was just like, I'll leave it alone and I'll just get back at it next week, and that's why I'm addressing it now. But and to me, like, it you can do another show the next day. Like, oh, yeah, well, we're going to do a tribute today, and then tomorrow we'll do our normal political bullshit or whatever you're into, whatever you're into. And that's, to me, the most polite and the most honorable way to pay tribute to somebody is dedicate your fucking show to them. Not like, oh, okay, yeah, we're gonna do a little bit of this, and then we're going to talk a little bit of that, and we're going to talk about it. And if you put it all together, I guarantee you they spent more time talking about politics. That's number one. Number two, you are doing a tribute to Marvin Lambert, otherwise known as Brain Damage, the Ultraviolent Terminator, which is how I know him. I know him, and, you know, I know people who do know him as a friend, and they would tell me what an awesome dude he is. But I don't, you know, I don't personally know the dude outside of the ring other than meeting, shaking his hand, taking a picture. You know what I mean? So I know him as the wrestler that I love to watch in the ring, and then you get, you know, the guys that know him from both working with him in the ring and know him outside of the ring. So those are the guys to get, right? So to me, you're doing a tribute to a guy and you put four people, you have so much politics to talk. You have room to put four people on your show. And those four people are Deranged, okay, tag team partner, one of his best friends. Billy Graham, he managed him in the ring, one of his best friends. Joker. Okay, I mean, listen, Joker's a guy who has tremendous respect for him. He worked him in the ring. He could definitely lay testament to what that dude was inside and outside of the ring. And fourth, me. Fucking me? Me? Really? Not Toby Klein? Not, I mean, any of the other people that I had on my show that fucking know him personally? None of the other people that are in the business, like, it's just one fan and then three workers that know him. Like, what exactly was the point of that? Like, why wouldn't Toby be part of it? Or why wouldn't, I mean, I had a lot of people on. I don't, again, like, I thought it was really shitty, and I thought it was a really move, it was a dick move to try to get themselves more listeners through me. And I'm not the type to just put myself out there like that. I'm not on the show every week and like, yo, we got X amount of listens. Like, sometimes I'm hyped up about the listens because I am lately. And I'll say, yo, shit's crazy. It's blowing my fucking mind. What you guys are doing for me is just amazing. Like, thank you so much. Holy shit. You know what I mean? But
this is what happens. And then they're going, then they're telling me, you know, now we're, you know, now when we got to the point of bantering and shit, oh, fucking, you know, oh, we'll be listening to your fucking shitty blog talk show, and, you know, I guarantee you it won't be good as ours. Now, fucking hold up, homie, because the thing is you came to me to cross-promote. What the fuck, what part of that don't you get? You came to me to try to help me? So now again, where I just said I don't really talk numbers, let me talk numbers. And I don't know what the fuck y'all do talking about Bill Maher for a fucking couple hours and Jon Stewart, because, I mean, Jon Stewart does his own shit, but you ain't Jon Stewart. So talking about what Jon Stewart talked about for however many hours and Four Locos and half-tributing a motherfucker, I can't imagine that your numbers are anywhere near. But, hey, if it is, great. Then I don't know why you're contacting people like me that, according to you, have a huge ego, and then according to you, run a shit blog talk show. So it is what I only do what I do, but you contacted me to do promotion. So I don't know why that is. I don't know what goes through your head to put you in that mind state. But just to give you a little perspective, not including this show, I ran 5 shows in October. I had over 1,000 listens on 3 different episodes that I did this month. Only 2 episodes that I did this month, because there was 2 weeks that I did 2 shows in a week. Only 2 shows that I did this month were under 1,000 listens. Like, we're talking week to week, like Wednesday's the Wednesday type shit. So I don't understand where it's just a shit blog talk show and, you know, I'm just a fucking asshole and I'm fucking, oh, I'm also crazy. I'm just crazy. I'm a nut. I'm crazy. This is because, like, when I'm talking to them, rather than being like, oh, I can see where you're coming from, or, you know, let me run that through my mind for a minute and come up with a conspiracy that maybe reminds you of why you wanted to work with me, or whatever the case is, I'm just, oh, you're crazy. Oh, dude, you're crazy. You with the crazy. I can't even talk to you. I'm like, oh, okay. So, that's what that is, man. And, like, I'm just going to leave it at that. And I just had to put it out there because I think it's ridiculous. I think these people are jerk-offs, honestly. And, you know, this is why, like, you know, I pay such huge respect to, like, Wrestling Soup guys, you know, Anthony Missionary Thomas, Joey Numbers over there. They've been nothing but awesome to me. I've been on their show. They've come on my show. Mish has helped me tremendously with a ton of shit. You know, the intro included. Stern Nation, Andrew Carluck he's become like a really, really good friend of mine. Like, we text all the time. We talk on the phone. Sometimes, you know, he decides he wants to lose in Madden. I mean, all sorts of stuff. He's my dude, you know, and his co-host Steph over there. I mean, she's great too. Women Love Wrestling. I mean, we go on the same night, and they cross promote me like it's no problem. You know what I mean? And that's running against each other on the same night. And it's not against each other. It's just 2 different shows. And you can download mine if you listen to theirs. You could download theirs if you listen to mine. Check it out. Oh shit! I think it's Blog Talk. Yeah, I think it's still Blog Talk. So it's www.blogtalkradio.com. And I think it's WLW, but it's Women Love Wrestling. They used to be under Women Love Wrestling 2, and they dropped a 2. So you can find them on iTunes and stuff like that. They do a great job. Another one being definitely the Sports Den. You know, I often have 2 scoops on here, and Dube comes on a lot of times. I got to have him on here one night. I have to work it out because I know they start a little earlier now. But Dube goes on the 2 Moms, 1 Show from time to time and gives recipes and stuff. And, you know, he could cook his ass off. He's the reason why my Sundays are pretty much a definite must-have jalapeno poppers. And maybe I'll have him come on here and give the full recipe one night just to, because I keep talking about them and I keep doing them. And every time I post pictures, people are like, oh, shit, that looks awesome. And, like, it is. I put a little spin on it, too. So I do the sweet peppers and the jalapeno poppers. So it's like you can kind of, like, cool yourself off after the jalapeno, eat a sweet one, and then back to the jalapenos. It gives you a nice balance so you can really, like, bang them out during a game instead of just, like, blowing yourself up in the first half. But just great stuff. And overall, like I said, just great people. I mean, from top to bottom, they're great people. Oh, Yolanda over there at the Shiznet. She made my shirts. She does her thing on the website. Oh, man. She'll have to forgive me for that one. But, yeah, she does her show on Thursdays on the Shiznet. And, you know, she's great people, too. Everybody I've associated with myself, I've never been sorry for. This was a very short-lived thing with Vito and this guy. But it's really no sweat off my ass because I just do what I do. And I'm extremely thankful for everything, you know, I've gotten as far as listens and all the people who do appreciate and listen to me. And they know that because I do work hand-in-hand with all these different shows. And it's never been about ego. I mean, fucking the Wrestling Soup always blows me out of the water with listens. And it's not a competition thing. It's just knowing that they've reached a level that they worked so hard to get to. They've, you know, they put in that, like I said, they put in that money, that website money, that getting their own equipment and doing the thing and recording it themselves and then posting it up. And I mean, they really, they put a lot more work into what they do than what I've ever put into what I do. I just, again, I just talk. That's what I do on a, you know, something that hosts me talking. And, you know, play with the sound drops and the songs and all that. But it is what it is, and it's as simple as that. And there's these guys that do that. I mean, you know, Nick, Two Scoops, he does, like, he went to school just like Mish did for this type of thing, for, like, the talk radio and all that. You know, Andrew's been doing this shit for years. I mean, it's just everybody's been putting their work in, and everybody deserves exactly what they're getting, and all I could do is hope that they get more out of just me saying their names a bunch of time, because I know, you know, I respect everything that happened to pay over from what they're doing, and they're letting people know about me, you know. And it's just, I don't even have a second thought to doing it. It's not how I think these guys are dicks, but here it goes. Like, no, and I don't want relationships like that. That's why I have no problem with just burning this fucking bridge where it stands and hope they never cross that shit again, because they just don't have respect. They didn't even know who they were talking to. It was just random, like, stab in the air to, apparently they got to be hurting for listens, because why'd they go in that direction? I don't know. I'm talking enough about it. So anyway, topic's dead. It's all dead. Guess I'll go with this just to put a bullet in it. Huh. There.
Yo. The most morbid overdose off it. Like Cindy Crawford, baby comatose in the coffin. I'm awful, often unlawful. Crack you with a softball in your skull till you've lost all memory and remorse. Mutilate the beat. Rejuvenate the street while you duplicate repeat. Fighter. Leave you looking like bloody lubricated meat. I got a gun to pull and I'm comfortable pumping the full clip into the wonderful front of your skull. Your life is not refundable. Stumble into the underworld with bigger holes in you than the cunt of your girl. Busting off like I'm hunting for squirrels. A bullet hits you, ripping your muscle like 100 curls. And that's that. You bullshit artist can catch an ass cap when you clap right through your knapsack backpack through an intruder's chest. Right through the flesh, shove the knife in deep, cause life is cheap, like hookers from Budapest. You're dead, dead, you're dead, dead, you're dead, 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 you're dead, dead, you're dead, dead, you're so dead, and that's what I said. You're dead, dead, you're dead, dead, you're dead, 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 you're dead, dead, you're dead, dead, you're dead, dead.
Kill Bill feeds demons and back a taxicab. My thoughts attack me like a bad acid tab. Or a crack rag, the black flag. Tales from the dark side, mandatory suicide. You were naturalized, men with suit and ties arrived. Driving medicated, then the thoughts within the dream accelerated. Then some other motherfucker levitated. Talk about some vampire shit like he's dedicated. Decapitated the fucking faggot, then I celebrated. Fucking with me, you fucking with psychos. Gunshots and knife holes, walk on my tightrope. You know how life goes, it's like a dice roll. I love the drama. My mama said to kill you, spill your blood everywhere. Like a broken glass of wine on the path of disaster, but a mastermind designed to blast an eye. Fuck these bitches, love the cast and crime. Yeah. Every off stick, quick to torture you. Cut off your balls and stuff them down your throat. Like you sniff the pound and hope you start to choke.
You're dead, dead, you're dead, dead, you're dead, 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 you're dead, dead.
There you go. So yeah, guess I'm gonna get into the WWE pay-per-view. See, the thing is too with the WWE, I really haven't enjoyed it a lot recently, and I haven't watched it for 2 weeks. So that's an easy way to not like it painlessly, and that's kind of what it's been. I just didn't get to it the week before this one, because like I said, I had nonstop thoughts of like how this show was going to go, you know, for Damage, and I just wanted to make it go as well as possible. So I was just trying to line up calls and stuff like that, and also knowing that I don't have to rush to watch this show. I could watch it later in the week because I'm not going to be talking about that shit on Wednesday at all. So I'm like, well, you know, I could completely put that off, which was kind of just like the only relief about the situation to me was just like, well, I don't have to watch that shit this week. I could talk about something far more important and allow other people to, you know, share their thoughts. So I was just like, well, okay, I'll watch that later in the week. Well, the later in the week just never happened for me. I just never got into it. So that week passed. Then the Sunday pay-per-view, I watched. You know, I watched for the most part, paid as much attention as I could. I thought it was pretty horrible. And then, I'll get into that, but I'll, just fast forward to Monday. I was so crazy with this fucking hurricane knocking the balls off of me over here. And, also trying to watch my game, and dude, like we beat the shit out of them. And Alex said, and I'll get into the football in a little bit, but, they played so well, but in the same token, I was like a zombie. Like, I could barely even pay attention to that shit. So Raw was the last thing on when. And normally, you know, I DVR that shit and then skim through it, like, the next day or later that night once I'm at least an hour in so I could skim over the bullshit. So none of that shit was even an option. So I knew, like, shit, the past 2 days has just been hectic. So I didn't watch Monday. I don't know what the fuck happened. I'll read the results later, and then, you know, if I see like something cool might have happened, I'll get it offline or something. But anyway, the pay-per-view started out with Alberto Del Rio and Randy Orton. Not a terrible pairing. I don't know. Something about Randy Orton just bothers me. He's got to be against the right person. I'm not saying Del Rio isn't. Maybe I got to say that he isn't. Del Rio works against a certain type of dude, too, because he works that, like, that arrogant style. I know a lot of people don't like him, but that arrogant heel style, I think there's something to be said about it, and it can work. Against who, I don't have that on the tip of my tongue. Not really. One of these weeks, I'll actually figure out what I think would work for this, because I know the majority of times I just go, I didn't like it. I just fucking didn't like it. I don't tell you what I want. I just like it. I mean, some of this shit I know, but like I don't know what the Randy Orton I could really do with or without. Like, I don't think he destroys a card, but I don't think he ever makes a card either. So he's just one of those guys, and you know, I guess, you know, the wellness policies have destroyed him from being an every single show main eventer, but who knows? They like to use him as that so many times that they may be, you know, only a hair away from doing that at any given moment. But because they were kind of main eventing Del Rio for a minute on at least the other title, so that match went down. You know, the whole arm injury, you know, selling the arm, doing the whole arm thing so you can't work the arm bar. You know, that whole thing. And, you know, Randy Orton hits the RKO. He gets the win. It just didn't do anything for me. It didn't keep my attention. A lot of this pay-per-view was just that. It just didn't keep my attention. Nothing really stood out. It was just kind of like, all right. Next match was Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes, Team Rhodes Scholar, versus Kane and Daniel Bryan. I think they're Team Hell No or something. I don't know why teams has to be before every one of the names of their teams. It's just kind of bullshit. They just called them Hell No and Rhodes Scholars. I think it would be a little better, but, you know, I don't know. And the other thing is weird that I noticed, it seems like it seems like the champions all came out first on this pay-per-view, which I thought it was supposed to go the other way. And I know a lot of people say, like, it doesn't matter, it doesn't do anything, it doesn't make a difference. I kind of think it does, because it makes the first guy come out, and then the champion, who's supposed to be the better guy in the match. Now, whether he's a heel or face, he gets to come out second to make you wait for the champion to get there. To me, it seems like just something that should be done in wrestling. The only time that I'm kind of, like, okay with it, just criticism. It doesn't, like, fuck my world up. I don't, like, snap when the champion comes out first. But the only time that I think, like, champions coming out first is kind of, like, okay, like, it works, is open challenges. You get, you know, your champion come out first, get out there and be like, well, you know, I put out my open challenge. Who's it going to be? And then, you know, you get all sorts of different things you could pull out of that, you know, jumping guardrails and guys coming down and then someone else running through him and him being the guy, or, you know, there's different things you could do with that. But I don't think just dude versus dude, one guy has a title. I don't think the title guy walks out first and then waits for his, I don't know. And it's just one of those little, you know, OCD things of wrestling. It's not even like, not that it would destroy the match or anything, but it starts the aura off on the wrong foot, in my opinion. You know, I mean, you could turn it around and, you know, within two moves of the match, be like, oh, I don't, who fucking knows who came out first. But it's just one of those little things that just, that you're already kind of headed in the wrong step. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. So anyway, they did this match. It wasn't extremely terrible, but they worked a lot of that, you know, Kane and Daniel Bryan not getting along and then pulling each other off the pins. And I get it to a certain extent. There's a way that, I don't know, there's got to be ways that they start working a little better together, even though they're always going to have, like, a not completely liking each other type vibe. But it's just like, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but they really can't keep the titles forever being guys that really hate being around each other. And it just, it half works for me. It does, and I think they need to tweak it a little bit and do something where, like, you know, they go in and out of getting along, where, like, when they get along, they knock the shit out of the other team, then they don't get along a little. Then maybe they even fake not getting along to bait in the other team, you know, and then they start actually working as a good unit, or I don't know. Just toy with it somehow, because it seems like it, even though, I mean, the sketches have progressed their, you know, relationship tremendously. You know, all the sketches they've been doing over time is just gold. And I think all of that has progressed it quite a bit, but a lot of their in-ring work is seeming like it's staying around the same, they completely hate each other thing, where their sketches kind of play both sides of it a little better. I don't know. Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes end up winning via DQ. I mean, with the talent that is in that ring right there, it should have been a fucking phenomenal match. And I guess that, you know, DQ and this and that, well, it's, you know, one of those build matches, and we're going to have more of it, and then hopefully then we'll get the big, you know, good match out of it. I'm not even really sure who's supposed to be the face in that match, because, I mean, I think Sandow and Rhodes play heels, and I think Kane and Daniel Bryan are supposed to be heels, right? I mean, when they're chanting yes and Daniel Bryan's chanting no, I know he's kind of feeding into the fans, but he's going against them, so he still seems like a heel to me. And then, you know, Sandow plays the super arrogant guy and Rhodes plays the super arrogant guy. I just kind of think that they're both heel teams, so it's kind of hard to get them both over, or one of them over in a match against them with both playing the same sides of the coin. Intercontinental title, Miz versus Kofi Kingston. Okay match. I mean, Kofi's just fucking unbelievable. I want to see bigger stuff out of him, and I want to see him, you know, just continue to just do well and them continue to push him. I don't know what happened backstage. There was definitely a point where they were trying to put him like main event type thing. They might even gave him a win over, I want to say they gave him a win over Triple H, but I could be wrong. I know they gave him a win over someone big that you just didn't expect him to win, and then it was like immediately de-pushed, like dropped from the top. Like, and then they put them back wherever they wanted to put them, mid-card, and then you had a bunch of different things. And I don't know what's going on backstage or what have you, but I just think Kofi's tremendously talented. I know a lot of people pick on his talking and this and that, but whatever. Give him a manager, do whatever you got to do, but his athleticism is just through the roof. Miz has come a long, long way, too, from what he used to be. When he first debuted, I could not stand this guy's work. I didn't like the way he moved in the ring. I didn't like the way he talked. He just awkward altogether. And he went in there and he worked on everything. Now he plays a really good arrogant heel type character. And he works pretty well in the ring as far as I could see. I'm no wrestler, but from what I could see, he looks pretty well at what he's doing. And another thing I just think could go better. I mean, two guys that there's nothing wrong with, but the match didn't blow my mind. I just wasn't blown away by it. This is why this pay-per-view to me was just shit, because it was like not a lack of talent, just a lack of spark. There was a lack of walking away from the match going, wow, that was fucking awesome. Like, and you can clearly see the potential of it happening with the talent in the ring. So that was what just, this whole thing was just lackluster to me. The next match was Justin Gabriel at Antonio Cesaro. I thought this match was really good, actually. I liked this quite a bit. Justin Gabriel to me has always been a pretty good, like, up and coming high flyer that needed to be like tooled with quite a bit. You know, no homo, but he, you know, he needs to do, you know, some work on some stuff. And I'm sure that there's guys in the back that can help him like fine tune like what he's doing. But I think he's got a lot of athletic ability. He's like a pretty stocky little dude for, you know, a lot of the little high flying stuff he does. And, obviously Antonio Cesaro, what more can you say about, you know, Claudio, for Christ's sake. And, even a guy like Claudio, who's worked tremendous amount of stuff with the Cruiserweight guys in Chikara, that's a great guy to put him with. I mean, he might come out of, you know, a feud with Claudio, just an overall better wrestler. I can't see why not. So that, to me, was match of the night. You know, a couple, you know, shortly off type little spots or exchanges, but not enough to ruin anything, in my opinion. I liked it. I liked it a lot. As opposed to Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara versus Titus O'Neil and Darren Young. This was fucking horrific. Man, Titus O'Neil is horrible. He's going to hurt someone really bad. And he almost killed Sin Cara on, I think it was on the finish, or it was towards the finish. No, it was towards the finish. And, he almost fucking killed him. Like, his head was so far lower than it should have been. Again, I'm not a wrestler. I just know that, like, that shit isn't supposed to hit the fucking mat so hard. holy shit, he's fucking horrible. He's big and strong, and anyone who's as big and strong as this dude should definitely have the ability to protect somebody. And I know Sin Cara is not known for precision either. So the two of them together, someone's going to die. And, you know, fortunately no one did, but, oh, Jesus, this match can't come off looking good after this type of shit. It wasn't just that either. It was another just completely didn't click. I mean, obviously I think it's another one of those mentor situations that Sin Cara botched so fucking much. They're like, just put him with Rey Mysterio and hope it works out. Like, let's hope he fixes him. Just put him together with that guy. It's just, if he can't fix him, no one can. We'll cut the guy after he hangs out with Rey Mysterio for a while. But I'm not going to do it before that. Like, because this was originally Triple H's idea to bring in Sin Cara. And after botch, after botch, after botch, after botch, after injury, after wellness policy, after everything, Sin Cara still has a job, and now they're teaming him up with Rey Mysterio. So I think that this is their attempt to be like, just Ray, please fix this fucking guy. We want him to be better. We want him here. Just please fix him. So he's not quite fixed yet. But honestly, I will give him credit to say he is working better than he did when it was just botch after botch after botch. You know, a little more, ring work put in around the high spots that he was doing. And, you know, I think it could do nothing but help. But again, I really think Titus O'Neil's a horrible wrestler. I mean, you look at, I mean, he's some of these guys that all came up in the same like group and stuff like that, and look where Titus is right now. It kind of speaks for itself, even, you know, booking wise. Guys, I don't know. Then you had a Big Show and Sheamus. I hate having to say this. This was actually a pretty good brawl. I hate Big Show more than almost anything in wrestling. And, you know, it started out with Big Show using pretty much Necrobusher offense, just like, you know, body shots and boot stomps in the corner and, like, you know, that type of thing. And they brawled around a lot, and they went back and forth a lot. And you've seen a lot of, like, red marks on dudes where they, you know, actually hit him, which I'm sure it's not that hard to put a red mark on Sheamus as white as he is, but, you know, nonetheless, I think there was some pretty stiff striking there. And I think they were doing some pretty good stuff for what they are. And for whatever reason, you know, Big Show wins the title. And yeah, that's what happened there. Then Eve and Layla and Caitlin wrestled the Divas title match. I don't know why they're so high on Eve again. Like, the bitch can't act. I don't think she's that good in the ring at all. She hits these fucking horrible moonsaults where she just, like, backflips over the fucking person she's supposed to land on. I think Layla's a pretty good ring talent. I mean, when you see her looks and then you hear her talk, it throws me way the fuck off because it doesn't look like it should add up at all. You know, that's that. Not trying to stereotype or anything like that, but Jesus Christ, it's like just like an awkward voice coming out of her. But I mean, she does most of what she's doing very well from what I could see. And I actually like Caitlyn quite a bit. I think she's a fucking beast as far as, you know, her power in the ring. She's got some shit. And I think they got to do a lot with her, especially with Beth being gone, because, well, what do you do? Is it all just like, I mean, they got Natalya, but like, no matter what they tried to do, Natalya really never panned out, and then she got into some kind of heat to put the farting gimmick on her, and then what the fuck? I mean, even when they had her together with Beth, as soon as they had an issue with her, they broke the tag team up and pretended like they weren't together anymore, like, right in the farting gimmick, and like, what the fuck? So, like, they're shy to do anything severe with Natalya, whether they keep her on payroll or not, so I don't think that they're going to do that type of, you know, strong gimmick type stuff. And then with you know, someone on the roster, or at least on payroll, when Sara Del Rey was signed, from what I understand, they got to have someone in there that could at least match some kind of power with her. And, you know, obviously you can get into a lot of really, really good technical wrestling contests with her, but have someone that could also just really just suplex the shit out of somebody, you know, put on some good power. And there was some stuff that she did in that ring that I'm telling you, I was like, whoa, I was really surprised with. I'm honestly too, and I haven't watched like a lot more. I'm actually way behind on my NXT thing since my computer's been fucked up, so I could only do so much. But NXT, when I had watched a few of those, Alicia Fox is actually looking a lot better than she did before ring wise. Like, I seen the one she did, like, a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker and shit, and I was like, whoa, what the fuck, who is that? And then a minute later, they're like, Alicia Fox, what the, and I'm like, whoa, shit, I wouldn't even recognize it, just because, you know, she just skipped to the ring, you know, danced around the ring, some old fox ears and shit, and then she was just, like, one of eight people blowing spots in a ring. But when I seen her there, it was like, well, that was really crisp, and, I mean, she seemed like fully in control of shit, which isn't something you see out of a lot of divas on TV. In control is not how I would describe the majority of their matches. It's hit and miss. And no, I mean, that could be someone that could be worked with. From what I heard, that, and I don't know the truth behind it, but they had a lot of ideas to have Sarah help also train a lot of the chicks, you know, and help train and help them develop. So maybe, I mean, if that's true, they can only benefit from what she knows and what she's able to do in the ring. Now, you know, I really, really hope they use her in the ring as well. But on top of that, if they have her also, you know, guest training, doing whatever she's doing back there, it can only help. So, yeah, that was that. Eve won again. And, yeah. then you went into the Hell in the Cell match with Ryback and CM Punk. This is weird. It didn't go tremendously bad to start, kind of as I would have expected. But as it turned to the point where you would expect it to go to some form of technical versus power type thing, where it really should have turned the corner, and I think, you know, went another 10 minutes or so like that, and even would have liked to see some you know, pretty good bumps, good something. Like, I'm sorry, dude. I know that not every show that they do in Hell in a Cell could be Mick Foley, but how many more of these Hell in a Cells can we do before there's another Foley bump? Is no one ever going to fall off the Hell in a Cell again? I think they have to. And they even built up to that shit. Like Mick Foley talking shit to Punk in the ring. Like, I fell off it, through it, this and that. Like, you're not a champ until you do this type of shit. And like, all of that. So I kind of thought this was the build to, like, fucking he's going off of this shit or something. And I don't, I don't think that you should expect anybody to go off of that shit every show or even every year or anything like that. But every couple of years, someone gets tossed. I mean, just cap off a feud at some point where somebody does something. Fucking Evan Bourne star presses off the shitter, you know. I mean, you see people jumping off of these platforms on the indies or off the cages off of this. You got to find somebody somewhere that you can just cap off a feud to make that match mean something unbelievable by a big bump. Now, again, don't blow it by doing too much of it, but every match and it becomes something that you could probably have just done with no cage at all. I don't really agree with that, because the most part, it's just like a normal match inside of a cage, and maybe someone gets their head rammed into the cage a few times, if lucky. The referee ended up taking the biggest bump of this entire match, which was the weird point that I'm talking about. Like, Ryback puts him up for the shell shock, and he just fucking, the ref just low blows Ryback. And I don't understand. And, you know, he just low blows Ryback, and then quick three counts Punk, and then they act like he can't get him out of the cage. They can't unlock the cage, and Ryback gets up. Then he chases Punk to the top of the cage. Now here's where I'm like, oh, well, he's going to fucking launch him off this cage or something. And he just gets him in the shell shock and hits the shell shock on top of the cage. And, yeah, okay, well, go off with Ryback looking like a hero. And Ryback, like, supposed to be a monster, kill me, feed me, all of this shit. Kill everybody, feed me more. Fucking, he's just like, shell shock. Okay, pose for the camera. I'm going to go climb out off the side of the cage. This dude just fucked you, and like, whatever. But when he gorilla pressed the ref and fucking threw him out of the ring into the side of the cage, that was fucking pretty badass. I like that. But overall, just like I said, kind of lackluster pay-per-view, because a lot of these matches had the talent and just didn't deliver, in my opinion. Just really didn't come anywhere near what I would expect, these guys to do. I mean, you just look at this guy versus this guy. What do you expect? Fucking great shit. And just like, it was all right. All right. So, I don't know. Well, I'm going to take a break, come back, talk my football shit and some more shit, too. I got some other shit to talk about as well. Take a little bit longer of a break with a Du Bushwick.
And now, with the following collection of ghoulish sounds, you can make your own sound terrifying and terrible.
I got a new game to sport. It's called told you size ain't shit. You better duck quick. It's the replay of Chucky Part 2, call it Chuck Witch. Some niggas stay hard, some niggas get sorrier. Insane ass dwarf, little fifth ward warrior. Tonight's your dead day, you'll die at a slow rate. Let's hope the chainsaw don't tear your chest for your heart's sake. Give me a knife, I'm cutting bodies to pieces. Remember what happened to your motherfucking nieces. Niggas think I'm a hoe, but I'm letting them know. Every head I cut off, half of that goes to Cool Joe. I cut a throat with a goddamn stick. All bodies found dead, fuck it, blame it on Chuck Witch. Smallest killer, I can't wait till they bury me. Every arm I chop off, I give the fingers to charity. I saw a dead body just about my size. Razor blade to his face, now I can see out both eyes. It's time for breakfast, but I don't want eggs. Just jelly and toast and bacon and legs. If you try to diss, that's fine with me. Is that fine with you, G? Chuck Witch Bill is from another dimension. Unsatisfied nigga with barbaric intentions. Sometimes I'm invisible, sometimes I'm seen. Sometimes I'm a pitchfork, sometimes I'm guillotine. Extra ketchup on them french fried knees. No tomato on that chopper with cheese. I'm getting thirsty, now what I'ma try? Scoop, scoop, blood dry. You think I'm crazy? You think I'm insane? Just because I wasn't born, I was found on a fucking train. You wanna rumble? Well, get up, shit. If you fuck, you get fucked by that nigga named Chuck Wick. Ah, shit. My nigga Gangsta Nip in the motherfucking house. Yo, Nip, say something to all the people out there.
Yo, this is Gangsta Nip, the Southpaw Psycho. Taking no shit, you get your motherfucking wig split.
Yeah, Chuck Wick, Bill ain't a sucker. Part one, trip y'all out. Part two is a motherfucker. Give me some bob and I'll start by killing me. I'm dead, so pass the bob, G. And after that, pass the bodies. Chuck Wick Bill, known as the Fifth Ward John Gotti. You make me mad, you're taking a fall. Yeah, tell your kids to buy my goddamn Chuck Wick doll. To let them know that I'm hard.
What's the name of your hood?
Fifth motherfucking Ward, the home of the villains. Constant killing, get fired off your job, start a new job, Kyle's dealing. The word Chuck Wick capitalizes each letter. Henry Lucas sold it too, we took homeroom together. You might think that I'm throwed. A major malfunction made my brain explode. Which means I'm ready to slaughter. Syphilis and gonorrhea mixed up in your drinking water. Before I go, I have this to say. Hi, my name is Chuck Wick. Part 3 is on its way.
Classic stuff for me. So speaking of Halloween, and I got to give another shout out to Joey Numbers at that, from the Wrestling Soup. He recently went to a Halloween party, and I guess they did like early in the month type thing, and he went as what he called the South. And it was his version of a redneck, and I thought it was a hilarious idea. And his portrayal was just fantastic. So I decided to put my spin on it, to go to my brother's Halloween party this, past weekend. So I did that. I went as fucking American. And if you haven't seen it, I'll describe it. But, you know, I got pictures on my Facebook and shit. What I did was I went to... Most of it came from Walmart. Big surprise. I got like a light blue pair of jeans and, you know, ripped the knees up and ripped half the fucking back pocket off, stuffed a red bandana in one of them. And then I wore my way overdue for new ones work boots that are all torn up. I wore those. And then I had a T-shirt that came from there that was like front and back. It was like a white T-shirt, but it had like printed on it like a biker vest and chains and like even the chest hair coming out of the top of it type thing. And it was like, but it was a T-shirt, kind of like the tuxedo T-shirt, like that, but like biker vest attire front and back T-shirt. So I had that and that, and then I put, I had a Budweiser hat that had, I got a Budweiser hat that had a beer cap or a beer bottle opener in the brim of the hat. I got a horseshoe and put it through my one belt loop. I got a I obtained a Mitt Romney sign and cut the wires off of it to stick into the ground and stuck it onto a snow shovel. And then I think besides that, all else I did was I took like two beers out of the Budweiser 12 pack before I left and then just duct taped the shit out of it before I went to the fucking party and walked in with that and asked him where I put my fucking beer. Oh, it was a good time. Oh man. You know, like I said, I put my spin on it, but it's funny cause before I left the house and I don't smoke, I asked my mom for a cigarette. So I had that dangling out of my mouth in all pictures. So, you know, It was good fun, and me and my brother won the beer pong tournament over there, so good stuff. A lot of fun, and yeah, if you guys want to see the pictures, just, you know, check it out on my Facebook or whatever. So, funny stuff. What else? You know, it's funny, it's completely random, but my neighbors behind me are crazy. They the one on the one side, they're just like a family full of rednecks, and then the ones on the other side, they're older people, and the older guy, he kind of looks like he puts himself across between Wilson from Home Improvement and the guy who sold Billy's dad to Mogwai in Gremlins. So, because he's got one of them eyes. And he would just, like, before I had, like, the tall, like, the 6-foot stockade, like, he would just, like, you just walk back there and he'd be like, hey, what you doing? Oh, I got a tool for that. Let me go get it. And you're like, oh, shit, now he's involved. You know, and, like, he'd just get into whatever the fuck you were doing. Like, oh, I see you planted something over there. What's that? Yeah, what is it? Like, now you had to, like, describe shit and you had to talk to this fucking guy just going in your own yard, you know? And then on the other side was the rednecks, but, like, they've like evolved, like these rednecks have evolved, because initially, like, I got my little fire pit bowl thing, and these are the people that when I lit the fire bowl for the first night and I went into the house for 30 seconds, I start hearing, get out of the house. And I come out, I'm like, what the fuck, look, the house is on fire. I'm like, nah, dude, it's a fire bowl. Oh, all right. And then, you know, later on, you know, not that night, but later on, like months later, like I'm all banged up and shit, and I'm out there fucking yelling at people on the phone, like just lighting huge fires. And they're like, you got a screen on that? And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. And he's like, I work for the volunteer fire department, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, fuck this guy. And I ended up with the fucking fire department in my yard over dumb shit like this. And there was nothing wrong other than nitpicking. So fast forward to, I think those were like the parents that they were yelling and acting, overreacting and stuff. I think they're dead now. So now the sons or whatever the fuck, they're there and they're full blown fucking like over the top rednecks. Like you could fucking like barely see through the little slats if you look over, because you hear shitloads of like country music and stuff. And you'll look over and like there's adults in like those baby pools and they have a fire pit themselves now, and it's like 6 inches from the other neighbor's fence. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. Like, these motherfuckers are crazy. But anyway, initially, you know, I put up the six-foot stockade. So now, you know, you got the guy that sells gremlins and the rednecks. And now, well, gremlin dude only has one person to talk to. Well, that's the rednecks over there. So that was constant. And then the parents died over there, like, just last week. Or 2 weeks ago, I think the parents died. And then, like, last week, boom, stockade between their shits. so now he boxed his shit out, too. So it's funny. It's like, little by little, this dude's, like, walking around his yard, like, what fence do I go to talk to people? And it's just boxing in. Just kind of funny, because it was annoying to me for so many years. And I finally decided, let's make this motherfucker more private. And I planted tons of shit back there. It's a spot for barbecues. But, yeah, it's crazy. It goes one to the next, and just funny random shit. All right, football. Fucking football. See, what happened last week? Well, started off the week on Thursday with the Bucks beating the Vikings pretty handily at 36-17. You had Freeman throwing 3 touchdowns. Martin rushed for a touchdown, so he had 4 touchdowns scored over there. Ponder went 19 for 35, you know, 251 yards, but he only threw for 1 touchdown. Adrian Peterson rushed for a touchdown, but, you know, 36-17. Bucks are 3-4 now. Vikings are 5-3. Yeah, the Panthers at the Bears, and the Bears squeaked it out 23-22. Against the Panthers, who were 1-6, he had a 6-1 team squeak it out against a 1-6 team. I don't know. Cam Newton, to me, for some reason, just comes off like a complete douchebag. And I don't know the guy personally, but it's just the vibe that I get. On one play, he was running the ball into the end zone, and he was like touchdown bound. He got hit right before the end zone, fumbled the ball into the end zone. And, like, luckily, another guy has jumped on the ball. So it was still touchdown, you know, Panthers. I mean, they lost by a point. They would have been out of the game when it came down to that. And he just, like, jogged off the field. Didn't, like, go, like, high-five his dude or, like, fucking congrats, you just saved my ass. Nothing. Just jogged off the field. Like, yeah, fuck it. Whatever. Dropped the ball. And, like, and he's been, like, constantly, like, post-game, like, yeah, well, you know, if you want to fucking... If you want to be an NFL player and tell me what to do, get in the field and shit. And I have a really big problem with that mentality. And maybe I'll get into the wrestling part of that tonight. Maybe not, because I got a pretty big feeling on that. And a lot of wrestlers get on that horse a lot and post this shit on the internet. And I definitely have a lot of different spectrum to that. Maybe I'll put out that. Let me just continue with football. Yeah, I just think he's a douchebag. And he constantly chokes. He's got tons of talent, but he's got this, like, fucking if you can't do it, fucking shut up because, yeah. And, like, again, like, he still doesn't even really pay, like, full respect to his teammates as far as I'm concerned. He's just kind of, like, pouty and just, I don't know. The Browns, they beat the Chargers 7-6. So, like I've been saying, the Browns are a scrappy team. They're not a team that you really want to sleep on because they'll play 4 quarters with you. Most of the time, they won't win. They're 2-6, but they're a scrappy team, and they'll play with most teams. They'll play with some of the best teams. Lose in the fourth quarter, probably catch like another touchdown on like garbage time where it doesn't mean anything, and on scoreboard it might look bad, but the Browns are a pretty good team. And I think they're like a couple draft picks, maybe a trade here and there, whatever. They could be a contender next year or 2 years from now. They could definitely be a contender. One of the two is going to happen. Depends on their offseason moves, but I think they got a somewhat of a foundation going on there. They're definitely a team that can keep up, just not, you know, be the one pulling it out towards the end. They're not great closers, but, you know, something to work off of at least. Seattle, the Lions, this was a close game. The Lions ended up winning 28-24. Scoreless third quarter. I mean, you had a lot of lopsided stuff going on. You know, second quarter, the Seahawks scored 14 and Lions scored 7. And then the fourth quarter, the Lions scored 14, Seahawks scored 7. So it was a lot of back and forth, you know, kind of tide changes in how the teams were playing. They were hot and cold, and the other team was hot at the time. So it was the Lions that squeaked it out. You know, I mean, Stafford threw for 352 yards, monster shit. And, you know, what can you do? But, you know, there's the two teams that are hard to call. You got the 4-4 Seahawks, the 3-4 Lions. They kind of stay in the game. Some games they'll really, some games they'll actually, you know, put up a really big fight and fuck a team up. But, yeah, even, yeah, the Seahawks, quote unquote, win over the Packers. Of course, they should be 3-5. But, That was, you know, completely botched by the refs. But beyond that, they were still with the Packers all game to even let that final throw happen to win, you know. They would have been down by a touchdown or whatever, what have you, but it wouldn't have been, you know, a win on their end. It would have been close enough that, again, they're in the game with those type of teams. So you had the Packers, which I'm so not sold on, beat the Jaguars. The Jaguars are 1-6. The Packers are 5-3. Packers beat them 24-15. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he's now got 3 straight victories for them. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers for 186 yards and 2 touchdowns. But Aaron Rodgers, you know, especially last year, he was throwing for big, big yards. And it was just an unstoppable force in the air. And I don't really see that. Their rushing game was never really that brolic. I mean, they put in 59 yards, you know, no touchdowns or anything. But it just seems like, I don't know, there's something severely missing from the Green Bay Packers. They're very, very beatable. And, you know, yeah, they pulled it out against the Jaguars, the 1-6 Jaguars. But I'm not sold on these guys, just not. I mean, they're 3-1 at home. Their one loss is to us. So, I mean, if there's any shining glory to that, is they got beat by a great team in us, which, you know, I don't mean to brag, but it's the truth. And, you know, maybe that's going to be their, you know, their shining stars, just getting it done at home, you know, and seeing how they end up in the end of the season and then playing great playoff football. I mean, we'll really have to see, but they've been very, very hit and miss as far as looking dominant and not looking dominant. And more times than not, they're not. So it is what it is. So then you got the Colts beat the Titans. And, you know, Andrew Luck threw for just under 300 yards. And, you know, I don't know how to call either one of these teams. Indianapolis is going to be a building team for a couple of years. They're 4-3. So they're not, you know, out of any running by any stretch, but I just think that it's going to be a little bit before this team becomes, like, true contenders. And the Titans, to me, are pretty horrible. Chris Johnson is far from playing like the guy that people expect him to be. He ran for 99 yards with 21 carries, but that's, I don't know, he's a game breaker. He's supposed to be. He sure as shit isn't this year, but he played great against, who the hell did he play great against? The Bills? Yeah, I think he blew it open against the Bills or somebody, but that's what it is. The Bills play good against the Patriots, and then pretty much that's. Then you had the Patriots beat the living shit out of the Rams. This was fun because you had a 7-7 game in the first quarter, and then second quarter the Patriots dropped 21 points. Third quarter, the Patriots dropped 10 points and then finished the game putting another 7 up in the fourth quarter, making it 45-7. You had Tom Brady throw for 304 yards and 4 touchdowns. And, you know, Gronkowski catching 2 of them and another rushing touchdown stacked onto that. Like, it's just holy shit, man. That is bad times for the Rams. They're 3-5. Pats are 5-3. You got the Dolphins beating the shit out of the Jets. This is kind of usually like a anyone's game type thing. And Wow. They weren't even first string quarterback. And they just beat the Jets up. The Jets have a lot of problems. They have an identity problem, in my opinion. I just, you know, two turnovers, and I think that spoke a lot of volumes for what it was. You know, Moore only throwing for a touchdown. I don't know. A lot of issues there. The Jets are 3-5, and the Dolphins are 4-3. And if you would have looked at the beginning of the season, Hard Knocks season and all, watching the Dolphins, the Dolphins on Hard Knocks and really not adding a whole lot to their team. The Jets, oh, now they got Tebow. They got two starting quarterbacks. You'd go, well, I don't know how that's going to work out, but, well, they'll probably do something. And 3-5 wasn't the something I was thinking about, but I guess we'll see. Then you got the Falcons beating the Eagles up, to be expected. The Falcons are undefeated still. The Eagles, they're every week questioning whether they should get rid of Vic, bench Vic, fire Andy Reid. Well, what they should do, what's the answer, what's going wrong? And it's hilarious to me because I hate the Eagles. So, good stuff. And the Eagles got, like, the Saints next week, too, so it's just, like, another game where a quarterback is just going to destroy them. Yeah, Asamoah, I mean, they told me nonstop when everybody, they just got a shutdown corner. They got one of the best corners in the league, this and that. I don't know how many times I got to see this guy get burnt before people reevaluate him. His contract's got to be far lower the next time around because that dude gets burnt a lot. And sorry, I'm not saying he's the worst guy in the league, but they were calling him like hands down best back cornerback in the league. And dude is getting burnt, like fucking smoked on passing plays. So I don't know. I don't know what goes on. The Steelers beat the Redskins. The Redskins are 3-5. Steelers are 4-3 now. Griffin, he made some mistakes in the game. I wouldn't completely blame it on him. He threw for a touchdown. He makes some just amazing plays, though. I'm telling you, when he gets out there, there's some shit that he does that you can't dispute that this guy has serious talent. And just, you know, keep in mind every time you see this guy moving around the field like he owns it, that, you know, he's a rookie. You know, this is only year one. And it's not going to stop. You know, nothing is over as far as the NFC East. I mean, they gotta win some games. Definitely, they gotta win some games coming up to contend. But the NFC East is always so wide open that you really never know. But yeah, the Steelers got that win. They looked like fucking bumblebees, like rugby playing bumblebees on this fucking past Sunday. But you know, they got the win. The Raiders beat the Chiefs. I don't know how to call neither one of these teams. The Chiefs are 1-6, so I guess call them bad most of the time. Raiders 3-4. I don't know. I don't think any one of these teams are contenders for whatever reason. I just don't. They usually end up on the losing end of things. So I just, they'll surprise you here and there. But not often. Then you got the Giants and Cowboys. This was just one of those NFC East scrappy games. The Giants beating up on the Cowboys, letting the Cowboys all the way back in the game. The Giants pulling ahead again, and the Cowboys almost beating them on the final drive. If it wasn't for, I think it was Dez Bryant in the final, you know, seconds of the game, caught it on the back. Caught it, you know, inbounds on the back line, more or less, in the air. And then as he fell, his hand touched that back line, you know, making him out of bounds. And, I mean, it was close. Like, not where you would say, hey, maybe he was in. No, he was out. But, I mean, he pulled his hand an inch to the, you know, inbound side. And that was the touchdown. Game over. Cowboys won two this season against the Giants. One in the opener and one here. But, no, I mean, the Giants pulled it out, luckily. But the way that they let the Cowboys drive right up the field like that was, I mean, telling of, I don't know. Eli, he's always a guy who's going to keep them in the game as far as offensively. But that defense seems to fall apart at times. They're definitely a strong tough defense when they want to be, but I don't know if they're a four-quarter strong tough defense. And we'll have to see how the season pans out because I'm not really sure about that. They're plenty tough against us, but, you know, 6-2, you know, those two losses being against the Cowboys and the Eagles, clearly not the cream of the crop. I know this NFC East is always anybody's game when they play. Huge rivalry, so you really can't judge them on that. But, you know, there's a lot to see as the season pans out. The Saints and the Broncos. The Broncos beat the Saints. And Manning threw for 3 touchdowns. Breeze threw for 2. But, I mean, it's just the thing. The Saints are just not able to pull it together. You got a 2-5 Saints right now. And, you know, the Broncos are 4-3. They have a lot of, you know, building and continuing to get comfortable with their team with Manning there and stuff. But, I mean, that's an easy thing for the rest of the team to get comfortable with. I think it's just a matter of finding the offense that works best for them, finding a defense that's going to, you know, allow him time to stay off the field and that type of thing. So, you know, we'll just have to see. We'll have to see what goes on. Peyton Manning is a game changer. Every time you add him to a roster, I mean, you're going to have a whole nother component of that team to deal with as like an opponent. I just don't think that that team is structured as Super Bowl winners just yet. I mean, Peyton Manning always makes you a contender, but I think they need a little bit more of a solid team. Last year, and they really didn't add that much in the offseason, but last year they had Tim Tebow just making miracle plays to get them further into the season and into the playoffs. I think Peyton Manning, just being Peyton Manning, could put him in the playoffs, but does it put it any further than where Tebow put them? For different reasons, but I think same outcome. So I think they need to build that team up a little bit more next couple years, whether it be next year or the year after, something like that. I think they'll make enough off-season moves and probably next year be a very, very strong contender in the AFC. And then last but not least, while getting the shit knocked out of me by a fucking hurricane, I was watching
San Francisco
beat the shit out of the Arizona Cardinals 24-3. Alex Smith was 18 for 19, 232 yards, 3 touchdowns. 2 touchdowns thrown to Crabtree, 1 to Randy Moss. Man, you know, holding that other team to 3 points, putting up 24. I'm a happy dude, you know, and oh, shit. If you've seen the hit that Goldson put on, dude, ooh, that's a good example. What Aldon Smith was doing back there, just getting through that line, what we were doing getting through that line to put pressure on that quarterback was icy hot and the fuck up the next day, believe me, because we put it on that dude. And, yeah, Aldon Smith is fucking awesome getting back there. You know, we have a lot of defensive weapons. As much as you could look at these offensive guys and, you know, Randy Moss and Mario Manningham and Vernon Davis and Brent Gore, and you could just keep talking. I mean, we have a lot to deal with there, but the defense, they're the thing to worry about, because you go in there with whatever type of offense, our defense is clicking right, you have big fucking issues. And We put it on these Arizona Cardinals. We left them with not much room to breathe, and then just did enough with our offense to make it impossible for them to touch with us. So, you know, you don't have to score 45 points a game, but if you put up 24 and they can't put up more than a single field goal, then you're in good shape. And I was very, very happy with our performance. So that's that. Going into this week's picks. All right. Let me see. I got my paper here. All right. Kansas City at San Diego. San Diego's favored by 8.5 points. And although I don't think San Diego is going to lose the game, I think that Kansas City is going to stay in the game by less than that. So I got to go with Kansas City point-wise. You got Miami at Indianapolis. Miami's favored by 2.5 away. I got to go with Indy on this one. Miami beat up on the Jets last week. I don't think they're quite that strong, and I think Indianapolis is going to give them enough of a fight to at least win this game. Buffalo at Houston. Houston is favored by 10.5 points. I'm going to go with Houston winning big on this one. Buffalo has let way to a lot of blowouts, and I'm hoping this is going to be another one of them. This next game is rough to me because I know not everyone treats Arizona as we did. And Arizona's at Green Bay. Green Bay's favored by 10.5 points. I'm taking Green Bay with this one, but I'm leery about it because Arizona was also the team to go in there and beat the New England Patriots. So they're not beyond staying in the game, still losing, but staying in the game. And a game like or a team, like I said, Green Bay, who I'm not so sure of on a consistent basis. I'm not sure about this game. I'm taking Green Bay, but I'm not so sure about it point-wise. That's a lot of points. Then you got Baltimore at Cleveland. And Baltimore is favored by 3.5 points. Sticking with Cleveland on this one. I don't know if you call that an upset when, you know, their team leaders are not in the game and everything, but I'm going with Cleveland on this one. Then you got Chicago at Tennessee. Chicago's favored by 3.5 points. And I'm going to go with Chicago. Just don't think that much of Tennessee at all. Carolina at Washington. Washington's favored by 3.5 points. And I got to go with Washington. I'm not feeling Cam Newton. I am feeling RG3. And we're going to see how that pans out. You got two throwing/running quarterbacks. I think the guy who came out this year is a lot more exciting to watch. And I think a little bit more of a class act than Newton. So, not that that matters when it comes down to who wins the game, but I just got to root for RG3 in this one, and it's only 3.5. So, yeah, I'll go with Washington. Like I said, they also need to win games in order to keep in that division. Denver at Cincinnati. Denver's favored by 3.5, and I got to go with Denver. Detroit at Jacksonville. Detroit's favored by 3.5, and I got to go with Detroit. Some of these just to me seem like easy picks, and this is why I haven't won a week this year, because apparently not as easy as I think. That's why, you know, haven't won a week yet. Against people on the air and all that, but, you know, the other pool I do, not so much. Minnesota at Seattle. Seattle's favored by 5.5 points. I got to go with Minnesota on this one. Going a lot of away teams this week. A lot of away teams. Tampa Bay at Oakland. Oakland's favored by 1.5, but I got to think Tampa Bay's winning this. Pittsburgh at the New York Giants. Giants favored by 3.5, and I'm hoping they come back with their Bumblebee uniforms and beat the Giants. Dallas at Atlanta. Atlanta's favored by 4.5 points. Atlanta's undefeated, and as long as they continue to do what they're doing, I don't think they're going to have a problem with beating Dallas by at least 4.5, you know, 5 points, 7 points. They could easily blow out a team like the Dallas Cowboys. Then you got the Philadelphia Eagles questioning their identity, going into New Orleans with New Orleans favored by 3.5 points. New Orleans is a team that needs wins. New Orleans still needs to prove themselves as the team that were feared a year ago. Not that I think beating Philly will be the statement they need. I really think Drew Brees is going to put up a lot of numbers against this Philadelphia defense. And who knows? I mean, if they're able to get in that backfield, Vic has been easy to get the ball from. So, again, I got to go with New Orleans on this one. So, yeah, that's my picks for the week. I think what I'm going to do is take another break just so I could talk just for a little bit longer. Let me see what I also even have to talk about, because I might not even want to talk anymore. Yeah, I think I'm pretty much done for the night. I could have gotten into that other thing, but I'm going to go long-winded, and my throat's starting to hurt, and I just want to get a good night's rest. So, definitely, I'll play a long outro type thing. I'll play you a track, and one thing I did want to say real quick. CZW, on November 10th, they're running a doubleheader. It'll be a tribute to Brain Damage on the on the 4:30 show, I want to say. Let me see. 4 p.m. This is previous to Night of Infamy. And so far they have announced this talent to be on the card. Danny Havoc, Matt Tremont, Joker, Toby Klein, Sammy Callahan, DJ Hyde, Masada, Lucky 13, Greg Excellent, and Rich Swann. So that's quite a lineup. You know, there's big stuff going on that day and that night. They have Night of Infamy. Let me see if I can pull up that card for you. What they have announced right now is Masada with another open challenge. You have, which I think this is just great, Ohio is for Killers of Dave and Jake Crist battling the returning Briscoe Brothers, which, come on. Ultraviolent Rules, Alex Colon versus Danny Havoc. Adam Cole will be in attendance and some words or whatever, what have you. AR Fox has opened an open invitational for the CZW Wired title, and so far, Rich Swann, Shane Strickland, and Lucky 13 are in. And apparently, I guess there will be more to be announced on that too. Greg Excellent will be fighting Kimberly. So we're going back there, and yeah. So, I mean, that's what we got there. Looks like a great day. I wish it was an iPay-per-view because I would surely check it out. But, you know, have to catch it on the DVDs. Let me see the other song I got. Play this last song and take it to the outro. And before I do, once you check my people out over there at the Wrestling Soup, check them out at the Wrestling Soup Facebook page. I know they had a little issues with their website. They have a group page to just dial up Wrestling Soup on the Facebook. Stern Nation, same thing. Check them out on the Facebook page. I believe you could just, you know, type in Stern Nation on the top search bar, and you will find it. And check out, you know, when they're doing shows and everything. Not sure if they're doing one this week, but, you know, they're usually weekly. Check them out. Women Love Wrestling, and they're on Blog Talk Radio. So you could check them out, search that out on the top of your Facebook. You'll find their group page as well. And the Sports Den, I believe they're doing their show right now, and you could check them out. Oh, man, I got to get these plugs written down better because I'm pretty horrible. I think it's Ustream, www.ustream.tv/sports/. Dude, I'm fucking this up. /channel/sports/den? I don't know. I'm probably completely wrong. But just again, search them on top of your Facebook. They'll come up with the link to their group page, and it'll give you all the details on when to listen to them. And like I said, they're on right now. So if you want to go listen to that right now, search that off there. They'll tell you we're on the air. Go click through that. Lock them all in on iTunes so you just get them every week without having to listen to me trying to figure out exactly where at. So that's what it is. Check all these people out and check. I think Two Moms, One Show will be returning on Tuesday. Check them out right here, www.blogtalkradio.com/Yakuza. Check me out the same place next night, a week from today. And I'll check you guys out next week. Peace.
I went to Texas, leave a car wreck with people who have injected infected needles, just seven people, baby birth is dead to people, killing slices, cold in the ice, one in the trice, hyper decisive, show up like mice is in the crisis. You never hear nobody send me in, I'm being Lebanon with the Libyans, the Malice and Caribbean. I ain't no fucking Cali, y'all, cause I got money pounded tall, selling big, thousand all, crack, smack, and having all, cause all I got is fat options. I'm 31 is what I rap box, in 89 when I was slap box, and now I'm locked up. jack tossing and cap popping, doing drive runs out the black dots. I ain't living for bitches, guns, no misses. Give them kisses and wishes before I break you up like dishes. Fuck your forces, my forces, endorses to kill all your sources. Y'all niggas best be cautious, no losses. My fortress is Jaguars and Porsches. Ride the OTB to check my money on the horses. My horses is flawless, my block one of the broadest. Off the main attraction for the whitey ass forest. That I torches and fortress without no remorses. Leave they bloody body to be felt in Mount Morris. Harlem leave you scoreless. I shoot your bitch and leave you brawlers. So if you want, we can start the static like a cordless. Like a cordless.
No doubt, strictly extravaganza.
Yeah,
yeah.
No murder.
What you
got
to say about
that,
nigga?
Word up, nigga. I only touch what I'm blessed with. Knowing a good get shit connected with G's across the country that respect it. G's late, while in East Lake, being my peaks, way G's, body deputies. Be trying to keep me, good thing of police chase. Only so one deep face, I'm running from civilians with a million in my briefcase. Navigate, tax state with half a cake. It's cash to make.
That niggas be illin' over. They had the children who be chillin' in your building killin'. My skills is priceless like hitting scriptures from Hitler. And if I'm out to get you, give your mom a picture, but your mission. I roll with snippers that annihilate. You if you try and violate, I have you under pressure like a trial date. Even if you tried, you couldn't get with it. The last nigga that died, we used to fire with his shit split it. I pulled a
to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.